Not-for-profit versus for-profit is really just a tax status, right? In order to run organizations, there have to be good processes and procedures in place, and that's a similarity. Now, the difference is that I report to a board and the board reports to membership, whereas in my other, we were either, you know, depending if it was a venture capitalist company that's looking at our results, or we're a publicly traded entity, which I've also worked at those, where you ultimately report to, that's different, for sure. But I think the best practices of running organizations are the same. Culture, right? Culture matters. You know, finding the right people in the right seats, that matters no matter what organization you're at.
This is Associations Thrive, the podcast celebrating successful associations and their leaders. I'm your host, Joanna Pineda, CEO and Chief Troublemaker at Matrix Group International. Listen in as top association executives tell all, revealing the creative and innovative ways they're increasing membership, generating revenue, nurturing engagement, and reimagining their organizations. By the way, if you've launched a new initiative, created new member services, or updated your governance structure and are seeing great results, I want to hear your story, and so do my listeners. I'd love to have you as a guest. Go to podcast.matrixgroup.net and apply to be on Associations Thrive. Now let's dive into this week's show. Today, I'm speaking with James Thomas, Executive Director of the American Society of Home Inspectors, or ASHI. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Joanna. I appreciate you having me on.
James, tell us about ASHI.
The American Society of Home Inspectors was established back in 1976. And, you know, for some associations, that's not been that long ago. But the reason why the American Society of Home Inspectors started was that there was this new phenomenon starting where people were looking at the houses they were buying before they purchased them. And there was a need in the market for someone who would know a little bit about what is your investment going to entail. And so the home inspection profession was just coming along. And then there were some very, very wise home inspectors who decided to get together to start the American Society of Home Inspectors for a couple of reasons. One was to define what a home inspection is and exactly what it isn't, right? So ASHI created the first standard of practices. Now, the standard of practice was both for the home inspectors to know what they should look at when they go into a house and what they should report on, and also for consumers to understand exactly what a home inspection would then be for them and understand the report. What's interesting is in the beginning, early years of ASHI in the 70s and 80s, they really worked hard to ensure that consumers understood the need for a home inspection and the value of hiring a home inspector to help as you're in the real estate transaction before you make that investment into the house. And so that's why ASHI came along. And ASHI at that point, you know, created the standard practice, but also decided to help home inspectors continue to educate themselves on what they need to do in the home inspection itself. And so that's been ASHI's focus since then, to educate our members on what it takes to do a good home inspection, but also to allow consumers to understand why home inspection is necessary, and then continue to support by creating standard practice and updating that as things start to change over the decades. And so that's why ASHI started. And we have members both in the US and Canada. We're excited about that fact. And ASHI has been around before licensing started in states for home inspection. And we're proud to say that there are a number of standards throughout that states have that have borrowed from ASHI as they created that legislation for home inspection.
So James, let me ask you a question. When my husband and I bought a home, our realtor said, okay, we're going to get the home inspected. And she gave me a referral. And I said, great, awesome. And that person did the home inspection. So how do I know that the home inspector that she referred to me actually knew what he was doing?
You know, that's a great question. And that's something that ASHI thrives in. We have a find a inspector on our website where consumers, anyone, referral sources, go in and put in the address of the property that needs to be inspected. And ASHI has two levels of membership that show up on the Find Inspector. Inspector level, which shows that they have to meet certain criteria, and then also our ASHI Certified Inspector, which is a third-party credential certificate, which shows that they have met certain requirements, you know, passed the NHIE, the National Home Inspector exam, right? So we know that they have the expertise. We also make sure that they have completed so many, they sign affidavits and they've completed so many inspections. So that shows that they have the experience necessary. The other thing that we do is we verify a sampling of the reports to ensure that they know how to write according to our standard of practices. And the last thing that we require is for all members, but especially for the ACI, is 20 continuing education credits a year from ASHI to ensure that they stay abreast of all the latest things that are happening, both from a technical side, to ensure that they're able to do the best inspection that they can for the consumer or their client. The one unique thing is, even for you, Joanne, I hope that it was an ASHI certified inspector.
I'll find out.
But I will say this too, what's interesting is that home inspectors truly serve their clients, right? They're unique in the fact that when you look at the greater real estate transaction that happens, you know, home inspectors are not tied to whether a house sells or doesn't sell. They are paid directly by the prospective buyer, typically, who is looking to learn about this house because it's probably going to be the biggest investment in their lives. You know, for most people, a purchase of a house is the biggest investment that they will make. And what's unique is that, you know, when people tend to spend more time on finding out about a used car than they will about a house, which is, you know, maybe sometimes even 100 times that what you're spending on, that the home inspector is there to educate and guide in that process, not to tell you if you should buy or not buy a house, but help you understand exactly what you're taking on if you decide to invest and purchase that house, you know. And it's about safety, about security. You know, most people are buying a house, but we call it a home inspection, right? Because really most people are trying to make it a home.
Right, right.
And sometimes in some homes, you have three generations living in the same space. And depending, there are different dangers and different needs within a home when you have three generations residing in the same dwelling place. So that's one thing that we take pride in at ASHI, the fact that we educate our members, we help consumers find the best fits for them with members who know what it takes to service a client in a way that makes the most sense, you know. And one of the other things that ASHI started, which I forgot to mention, was not just standard practice, but they incorporate a code of ethics, you know. And the code of ethics was vital in the beginning of the profession because a lot of people were coming from different backgrounds, right? From trades. We even see it today, but especially in the beginning time, you want to ensure that the inspector has no conflict of interest, no explicit or implicit biases on when they are looking at the state of a home. And why I say that is, you know, if someone comes from a background of roofing and they still do roofing or something of that sort, when they do the inspection, you don't want them to say, well, it needs a new roof because, and you can contact me and I can help you repair this or replace the roof. That's not the purpose of a home inspection. And in the very beginning with the code of ethics, and, you know, it's changed over the years, but it was to ensure that even if you have a background in that, that if you're doing an inspection on someone, you have to wait a long period of time before you're allowed to do any kind of work on that home for a year or so. And that was in the very beginning.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
But now you see that, you know, especially for ASHI members, a good portion of them, that this is their primary revenue, is to be a home inspector. And so the case of conflict of interest are different at that point. But it's just something to know that ASHI was even formed in 1976 with an eye on consumer protection. And that's why one of the things they did with the standard practice was also to, alongside that, was a code of ethics to ensure that the home inspector was really both implicitly and explicitly serving to the best interest of their client.
So, James, today the market is a little tough for real estate. I have realtor friends and I have clients that say it's a tough market. So what's it like to be a home inspector these days?
I think that when the real estate industry is either at a very, very boom or it's really, really slowed down because inventory is not there, you know, variety of factors, interest rates could be high. There's a number of reasons why houses don't sell. We see similar things. And people are like, well, how about in a boom? Why is that? the unfortunate thing that happens when houses are selling really fast and people are, you know, offering money, cash above over listing price is
they're waiving the inspections.
They waive the inspections, right? So that's one thing that impacts our membership. And in the same way, when times are leaner, let's say, because inventory is not there, or the current situation we see right now, the affordability of housing, right? Mm. Those who currently have a house aren't willing to sell their house because they may have signed a 15 or 20 year at a very low interest rate. And if they decide to sell the house, yes, they can make good money on it. But what are they going to find if it's in the similar area?
Right, right.
At an affordable rate to pay a similar mortgage, they'll probably have to downsize in a different way. So absolutely, our members are facing the same similar challenges, I think, that you would see your realtor friends are facing. But the one thing that I know about a lot of ASHI members, we're fortunate that a number of our ACIs, the ASHI certified inspectors, are coming with years of experience. So they have different revenue streams. You know, a lot of them do commercial, a lot of them have added these ancillary services to help them maximize the opportunities, but also they've built their network enough that they've done it. Now, our members are also definitely feeling that, and they're making decisions for their businesses to ensure that they continue through. And our hope is that within the next, you know, we're in election year, so that always throws everything into a little bit of a tizzy.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the next 18 months or so, we'll hopefully start to see that rebound and our membership get to do it. You know, our members, depending on when they started, have seen some of these tough times before, but for some members, it's going to be unique for them and seeing a little bit of a downturn in the market. And it's like I said, though, we saw the similar type of situations for some of our members when they were in really boom cycles, right? And people were waiving inspections. That means whether the houses are selling at an incredibly rapid pace, but people are waiving the inspections, that's as difficult for home inspectors in the real estate process as it is when homes are not selling.
Right.
So those are the two polar opposites, but they end up having the same impact on our membership.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk about ASHI in a second, but before we do that, let's talk about your journey. So how do you get to become executive director of ASHI?
So it's an incredible story, I think.
It always is.
You know, when I graduated from undergrad, I didn't think that I would end up being an executive director of an association, right?
Did you even know what an association was?
I had some idea because my mom was an RN. So as a registered nurse, she was always, and I was a voracious reader, Joanna. So she would get her nursing association magazines.
Oh.
And so I remember reading those newsletters and the magazines just in the house, because she'd have them laying around and I would read them. And that's how I knew about associations. But in my mind, it was always more tied to medical professionals, groups like that, because that was my personal experience with it.
Right, right.
From my mom. And so I knew the opportunity was there. I didn't know what it entailed. And I was fortunate enough to, prior to this at ASHI, I had worked in education in different facets from places like Kaplan, which at that time had acquired a company called SCORE and was hired to help them tutor students between, you know, K through, like, it was basically the ages were like 4 to 14. So I did that for a while, worked with Sylvan Corporate as they were taking the franchise model and starting corporate centers to see what that could work with and kind of be pilots to test out new programs, to test out how things go. Worked with a foreign language startup company as they launched in DC and Chicago with programs they brought into elementary schools and middle schools. And I kind of got to oversee and almost start that business in a sense, and those divisions. It was a lot of fun. But the last pit stop I had right before joining ASHI was the founding campus director for an audio engineering college.
Oh.
And we would offer, yeah, diplomas and degrees, associate degrees in audio engineering, which is the folks who record, whether it's music and also live sound. And we also had a music business degree. And that was for a lot of sole proprietors who were looking to maybe work at labels, but also to launch their own careers. And so it was a fascinating time. Did that for a number of years and was looking at something different to do. And ASHI caught my eye. ASHI at that time at the ASHI school was excited about that and was interviewed by the board. And they actually asked me to look at ASHI as a whole, the American Society of Home Inspectors, and step in as the executive director. And I was fortunate enough that they felt confident in bringing me on, but also I had a real good piece about joining the American Society of Home Inspectors because just what they did. You know, there's very few places currently where you can stand up and proudly say, I work at a place that benefits society. Our members are fantastic, valuable, giving people. who impact their communities in such a way, they're the ones who help people make decisions on what will probably be the biggest investment of their life, right? And to be able to work with an organization that provide these members with the opportunity to be the best at their craft, whether it be through education or through our webinars or through our live events, in order to ensure that they are doing the best for their client, challenges us to do the best for them. So it's been an incredible journey, and I've appreciated every moment I've had here at ASHI.
James, interesting background. So you were mostly in for-profit companies focusing on education, and then you take the helm of an association in a completely different field. How do you transition from for-profit to nonprofit? It's a different mindset.
You know, I agree and disagree with that, Joanna. Okay. I'll agree in the sense that not-for-profit versus for-profit is really just a tax status, right? In order to run organizations, there have to be good processes and procedures in place. And that's a similarity. Now, the difference is that I report to a board and the board reports to membership. Mm. Whereas in my other, we were either, you know, depending if it's a venture capitalist company that's looking at our results, or we're a publicly traded entity, which I've also worked at those, where you ultimately report to, that's different for sure. But I think the best practices of running organizations are the same. Culture, right? Culture matters. You know, finding the right people in the right seats, that matters no matter what organization you're at. There is a unique approach, I think, in nonprofits to learn a little bit more about the opportunities available to them. There are some government incentives and things like that from what you pay and what you don't pay. But what's unique, as you're aware of, as an association, you know, we have the ASHI Association, the American Society of Home Inspectors, right? We're a society of 501(c). And then you also have the ASHI Foundation, which is a 501(c). Even though they're both nonprofits, there are some unique nuances between the both of them. You know, 501(c)s are like, you know, 501(c)s. And it's been fascinating learning about governance and board structure. And so those are some of the differences, right? As an executive director, you have to learn how to operate in the world of a board versus in a for-profit. It's different for the most part, even if you're like, you know, when I was founding the campus, I was reporting to the CEO of a large organization that had invested in the place where I worked at that time. So that's different. The reporting structure is a little bit different. But other than that, I would say that the principles are very similar.
But James, what about decision-making? Because what I have found from other friends who've moved from for-profit to nonprofit is they feel like the decision-making can take much longer in an association because you have to go through the different steps. Where in a startup where you've worked or a VC-funded firm where it's like, you know, fast, fast, fast grow, how do you get used to that, the different type of decision-making?
That's a wonderful point. That was one of the unique learnings for me when I stepped from the for-profit world into the not-for-profit association world, the time lag that you need in order to make decisions. But I will say this, and this is, I would say, was one of the biggest learnings for me, that even though sometimes it may take longer, it's good at times because you then get an opportunity to hear from perspectives that you normally wouldn't have listened to because one, the timeline doesn't allow it, or they're not safeguards in the process to ensure that you're hearing from those perspectives, right?
Okay.
So I do appreciate that. And it was different. That was very different. I was used to being the guy who can just say, okay, we're going to do this now. Let's do it. And maybe with one approval. Whereas this is healthy in the sense because you have to build business cases in both, whether it's for-profit or not-for-profit. But you have to remember who your audience is when you're coming before a board and approach it differently than you would have with the for-profit when you're just going in front of one person.
Boy, I love that because what essentially you're saying is within a nonprofit, it's a different type of decision making and you kind of build in steps to get different perspectives, which maybe you may or may not need in a for-profit, but it's just a different situation. And so once you realize that, you embrace it instead of feeling frustrated that the decision making perhaps is a little bit slower. It's a different type of decision making. Hey, let's turn to ASHI because, man, you are doing a whole lot of stuff. My team has a chance to work with you right now on a project. You know, during the prep, we were talking about how education has changed the landscape. So what's ASHI doing to meet the needs of adult learners? You're doing some interesting stuff here.
Thank you, Joanna. It's a fantastic question. And this is one of the things that, you know, we talked about the difference between for-profit and not-for-profit, right, earlier. So about 3-4 years ago, we had a education task force created by the board, and we had diverse opinions on that task force coming from educators themselves in the field of home inspection to board members who've been participants in large events to staff to sit down and come up with what is ASHI's needs from an education standpoint. Because at one time, ASHI's main driver of education, 1976, probably through the late 80s, was this large in-person event called Inspection World. And maybe even through the late 90s, let's say, because that's the way people learned, right, in person. And so the natural movement from that was when the world started to get to virtual, even prior to when I was at ASHI, they had the ASHI Online Learning Center. Primarily what that was to ensure that we would videotape the in-person sessions at the Inspection World and put them into a online learning portal with some questions and things like that. So basically you'd watch a video or you'd watch slides and you'd answer accordingly. But ASHI's board and their foresight alongside with staff realized that's not the way people are learning today, right? Especially as you're talking about different generations of learners. We are fortunate enough as an association to have people who learn without a laptop in college to those who have now had a laptop incorporated into their day-to-day education since elementary school.
Right.
Because we have that range, right? So what they looked at and realized was that we needed to change our approach to online learning and education for our members in a collaboration. So as an ED, in collaboration with the board, investing and finding the right fit as director of education. So we brought a director of education with a background in adult learning, a member of ATD, and he brought on a team that included instructional designers and course writers and things like that to help us build out courses that will meet both ASHI's requirements for CEs, but also state requirements for CEs, right? To ensure that our members will be able to get both, depending on which state they reside. And we were able to partner with a group called Crowd Wisdom and create a fully robust LMS or learning management system. It's been one of our biggest successes to date since I've been here at ASHI. What's incredible is some of our numbers show at any time we have like 60 to 65% member engagement in our LMS itself.
Oh my God.
Which is incredible when you consider the fact that we have all different types of learners, like I said, those who have and have not been exposed to online learning throughout the course of their life.
Well, let me ask you a question. So with the LMS, is all the learning online or is it still a mix?
For us right now, the majority of our investment and resource has been putting courses into our online robust portal. And you could see, because one cool thing is that we have feedback on this, and they're so highly ranked by our members themselves on the ratings that they give. The one thing that ASHI prides itself on is that all of our courses on our LMS, our members get as included as part of their dues fees. So there's no additional cost for that, right? And they take these at their own pace and things like that. So it's included. Now we've partnered with chapters for this year. We're going to do our IW on the road. So you'll see Inspection Worlds in Ohio. We have an Inspection World, and that's primarily done by the chapter with some support from us. And then also we have one St. Louis, New England, and in Silicon Valley up in California. So we've got those for 2024. And in 2023, we had the large Inspection World in Las Vegas. But what else we do is we also do what is called live virtual events. You will be part with the group there. So we have our ASHI Virtual Summit. And what's interesting about that is it'll have speakers and people be able to ask questions, but it'll be a true virtual. And those are additional costs, right? Like the in-person events and things like that. But the LMS where it resides, where a number of courses reside, I think something like over 200 hours of, if I remember now, maybe it's a little less than that, is available to all members at no additional fee to what they pay for their regular dues membership. And it's been fascinating to see our membership embrace these courses and the technology in which it's delivered. Because, you know, anytime you take a project of that scale and that much investment, that much time and focus of a team, there's always some healthy trepidation, right? Like, are we doing the right thing? Does this matter? Will it impact our membership? Will it engage our membership? And we've been so pleasantly excited at all of the results that we've been seeing by implementing this. And I think we're coming up on 2 years since we fully implemented it, continue to grow it, and continue to get great feedback from our members regarding our, it's called the ASHI Edge. That's what we call our learning management system.
So James, what you did was you reimagined the courses and then you made them all free so that this 20 courses or 20 CEs that your members need in order to maintain their certification, they can actually get from ASHI through these free courses.
That is correct.
James, how do you teach someone virtually how to inspect a foundation or an attic?
That's a great question. So they'll have clips of pictures, videos, and things like that. But I will say this, for our pre-licensing education, so there's also the ASHI School, which does pre-licensing education, which is a fancy way of saying how to learn to become a home inspector, right? We have a mix of both in-person for those in certain areas, and we can bring it in for people that would like that. But we also have an online self-paced course. And what's unique about that too, Joanna, a lot of this is determined by if a state is licensed or not, and what that licensed state expects for education for people getting into home inspection, also for their continuing CEs. So we build out accordingly based on the specifications of one to ensure they hit ASHI's standards, right? ASHI standards for what will we see as entailing a good course, but also what is required by the states that we are looking to get CEs for our members. And in a perfect world, you know, Ohio is a licensed state. Illinois is a licensed state. We like for our courses to have the opportunity for our Illinois and Ohio members to earn both ASHI CE and their state CEs at the same time. So it makes it a little bit easier for them.
So what you're telling me is that home inspectors in some states must be state licensed, but in other states, they're not required to be licensed.
That is correct, Joanna.
How do I know that my inspector does a good job?
That's why ASHI's around, right? In a way, we're here to ensure that people know they can go to the Find Inspector tool and find someone in their area who is, they have met certain requirements to ensure that they can do a good inspection on your home.
So you've got inspectors who are not licensed and not required to be. You have inspectors who are licensed because they're required to be at the state level, but you also have on top of that a certification.
That is correct.
So why decide to become certified on top of state licensing and becoming an ASHI member?
It's a great question. I think that the state licensing, it's one thing that every home inspector in that state will have to do. So how do you set yourself apart to your clients to show that you're doing more than the minimum the state's asking you to do? Right. And so, you know, when you become an ASHI certified inspector, you get to use ASHI certified inspector logo and you get to share that. We have digital badging. So you can put it on your website. You can show it to people who are prospective clients to see that this is different. And you can learn about the ACI both on the website, but when you click on it, I'll tell you a little bit about it. I think that matters, right? Because if you're licensed, which is great, you know, in a licensed state, you know that somebody's at least meeting the minimum requirements that the state's asking. But the ASHI certified inspector certificate allows for a consumer or a client to see, okay, this person's doing even more. And it's all about choice, right? We want to make sure that people have adequate choice from those who are experts at their craft. And that's what ASHI's trying to do with the ACI, to help people to realize that these are folks who've done a little more than just state licensing, or in unlicensed states, more than just hung a shingle up and said, I know how to be a home inspector.
Yeah. James, you know, before I started working with ASHI, or before Matrix Group started working with ASHI, I didn't know, or I didn't realize that home inspectors need to be licensed or that there's a certification. So I bet that part of what you're trying to do is to make ASHI membership and ASHI certification much more well known. Kind of like when you're working with a certified financial planner, you want the CFP designation, or when you're working with a realtor, you want the big R, right? So how do you, or is it even in your strategic plan to make ASHI membership and ASHI certification much more well-known in the industry so that the next time I buy a house, I insist on an ASHI member or an ASHI certified inspector?
Absolutely, Joanna. And if you notice that as we work with your group, right, we've talked about ways to incorporate ASHI as we build the new website in partnership with you all to ensure that we are organically And then when we choose to put out the advertisements for consumers to know and to come directly to the ASHI site, to the Find an Inspector page, we drive traffic that way. It's absolutely a intention of ours. I do think that the real estate transaction industry is going to see some shakeup just in general. There have been some lawsuits, not for home inspection, but in other areas of real estate transaction. And I think that we're going to see consumers will go directly to the sources. We've already started to see that shift just in general mentality of consumers, whether it's buying a house or not. If you think about it, most people will do some sort of research on a website before just taking somebody's word on who's good, who's not, right? And people are driven by reviews now. People look at these things and kind of try to figure out what's the best fit. And I think that by differentiating themselves with an ACI or explaining to people what else you had to do to get beyond the minimum requirements, I think that really matters and makes a big impact.
Wow. Well, James, you've educated us on home inspection and the value of working with an ASHI inspector. Thank you so much for sharing everything that you're doing over at ASHI. I hope you'll come back when the new website launches. You've got all these new things that you're developing for the public, and tell us about all these new initiatives.
Absolutely, Joanna. Thank you so much for the time, and I hope we'll get a chance to talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Associations Thrive. We're so glad to have you here. You know, my personal mission and the mission of my company, Matrix Group International, is to help associations and nonprofits increase membership, generate revenue, and thrive in the digital space. I want to hear stories of how your organization is thriving in today's challenging landscape. Please apply to be on my show by going to podcast.matrixgroup.net. By the way, do you need help with a digital initiative? Maybe it's a website redesign, a new membership database, or a hybrid meeting that you're planning. I'd love to connect with you. Please visit the Matrix Group website at matrixgroup.net. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Associations Thrive. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star rating, post a comment, and share it with your colleagues and friends. Bye!